What did Jesus mean when he said, cut off your hand, your foot, or pluck out your eye when these organs get you into trouble? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now for thy divine illumination on thy sacred word. Amen. Today we're continuing our study of the Gospel of Mark, and I shall cover three subject matters. Let's get into our text, Mark 9, verse 41, to the end of the chapter. Jesus said, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Now, dear ones, we have three subject matters before us. The first one is about the giving of a cup of cold water. The second one is offenses that come to us from the outside. And the third one is on offenses that come to us from the inside. Let's begin with a cup of cold water. It says in verse 41, whosoever shall give you a cup of cold water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, ye shall not lose his reward. There are four legitimate kinds of giving that we Christians are encouraged to pursue. First of all, we have an obligation to the house of God. In the Old Testament, that was the tithe. That means, of everything somebody received, he was to give 10%. The Pharisees prided themselves by doing that. But Jesus said, that's not enough. I want you to give more than 10%. So he said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Friend, that is a lot more than 10%. This is the way Jesus wants us to give. The tithe is at the very bottom. You shouldn't even think of giving less than that. You have to remember, we no longer are under the law. The law draws lines. It has limits. It sets up limits, whereas love and grace are limitless. So when you are in a legal relationship with your spouse, you say, I shall give my wife what she needs, what she requires, and no more. I'll buy her a new wash machine once every 10 years. And if it happens to go out in 1 year, then she has to do without a wash machine for 9 years. The law draws lines. And when you are in a love relationship with your spouse, you give all that you reasonably can. Love always goes further than law. So the first obligation in giving is to the house of God. The second one is in giving to your enemies. The Bible tells us to do good to our enemies. The third one is to give to widows and orphans. And the fourth one, which is mentioned here, is giving to other Christians who have needs. And this is also brought out in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, by the Apostle Paul, who says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them that are of the household of God. Note the word especially. Especially to other Christians, and no doubt this teaching of Paul comes out of this text in Mark chapter 9, For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. When you give to a brother in need, you should give in the name of Jesus. Jesus should receive all the glory, and you should expect to receive nothing in return. You shouldn't give it to your brother according to what you think he's worth, in reference to whether he's regular in church attendance, or whether he's a faithful man in prayer, or whether he's a good witness or not. That is not up to you to even consider when he has a need. The reason why you give to him, it says here, is simply because he belongs to Christ. And that is a basis of Christian charity, as mentioned in this particular passage. Now, let's go on to the second part of the message. And here it is, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. I went back to the origin of the word as to what it really meant to begin with. And it says to strike, to catch in a snare, as a secondary meaning, and a third meaning is to throw a stick at somebody. That's what it means here when you offend somebody, some Christian brother. If I were to sum this up, I would say if you cause trouble to another Christian or if you bring him to ruin, then, my friend, you are in serious trouble. And what should be done to you? Well, you should be taken to a seashore, and then you and a millstone should be put into a boat together, and then you should be taken out to the depths of the sea, and the millstone should be hung around your neck, and you should be cast into the sea to drown alive. This is a teaching of Jesus. It did not originate with me. It's a teaching of Jesus and what he thinks about you when you criticize, when you cut down, or you find fault, or give any trouble to a brother or sister in Christ. That, my friend, is a serious violation of the law of love. So it says here that if you do such a thing, it would be better for you to be cast into the sea. It would be better for you that it would be done right away, immediately, because if it is not done to you right away, you might continue with criticizing, cutting down other Christians that may cause you, my friend, to be cast into hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. In other words, stop harming, hurting, speaking evil about your brother and sister. Stop it. Let's go to the third part of this message now. We're moving now from the offenses that come from the outside, from somebody else towards you, to offenses that come from within. And that gets us to verse 43. It says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that never shall be quenched. And that is repeated in reference to the foot and the eye. Now, shall we take this literally or not? Well, the words of Jesus, given to his disciples in the Gospel of John, help us here. For Jesus said to them, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Now, did Jesus mean that literally or spiritually? Well, he said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So these words here in Mark refer to the spiritual life. You see, our troubles do not come from the physical. Our troubles, our defilements, come from the inner man, from our hearts. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 5, do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Do you get this? Your physical man is not the problem. The problem is in the heart. The next verse is, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, etc. These are the things which defile a man. So don't take this passage literally. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Don't take it to mean that if your hand handles, touches something this week, that you come to church next week with one hand cut off. The next week you come to church with 2 feet missing because your feet have taken you to the wrong places where you should not have gone. And the next week you come with your eyes missing because you've looked at something you shouldn't have looked at. If you keep this going, you lose your job and you won't be able to take care of your family, and there's soon nothing left of you. You still have the same evil thoughts in your heart. Jesus said it is out of the heart that proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, etc. Well then, what does it mean when your hand offends you, or when your foot offends you, or your eye offends you? Cut it off or take it out. For it is better for thee to enter the kingdom of heaven crippled than to be healthy and to go to hell. What does it mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means, friends. Let's look at it this way. Let's keep the physical with the physical and the spiritual with the spiritual. If you have a physical disease, such as in your foot, say gangrene has set in, then you cut your foot off. Gangrene is an ailment where the arteries to your foot have dried up because you had a burn in it, or it was exposed to too much cold, or there was a blockage in the artery. And so there's no life left in that foot. So the foot dies, and then a bacterial infection starts in, and so you actually have a dead, stinking foot that needs to be cut off to save your life. Yes, if it is a physical problem, then cut off your foot to save your life. But this is talking about a spiritual problem here. If there's something wrong with your spiritual man, if there's a lust in you, or greed in you, or pride, or spirit of jealousy, or bitterness, by all means do whatever it takes to cut it out, to crucify that part of you, to kill it, to starve it to death so that you will not be cast into everlasting flames. Get rid of these evil things in your heart, of these addictions, of these habits of lust. May be as painful as cutting off your hand, but you've got to do it. By the grace of God, you've got to do it to enter into life everlasting. In other words, having a pure heart is a matter of life and death, yes, indeed, of heaven and hell. For only, Jesus said, the pure in heart shall see God. I heard people say throughout my years, Pastor, I'll never give this up. I love this sin. I'm in this addiction. I couldn't do without it. For me to give this up would be too much of a sacrifice. It would be as bad as for me to cut off my foot, my hand, or to plug out my eye. But Jesus says, my friend, do it. You've got to give up this awful sinful habit or this awful sinful addiction to save your life by the grace of God. Because if you don't, my friend, you'll be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Get rid of this evil thing so it no longer has any part of you, or your whole body shall be defiled. Oh, you say, Pastor, this is an awful straight message. Well, it is Jesus preaching. This is a call from our Lord Jesus, that we keep ourselves pure and unspotted from the world. The flesh must be mortified. This Adamic nature must be crucified continuously. Maybe now you understand the words of the Apostle Paul, who built his doctrine of salvation on the teachings of Jesus. Paul says in Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified, that means have killed, the flesh with the affections and lusts. How could it be any plainer than that? Or take another passage in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 5. Paul says, mortify, which means kill, crucify, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornications, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry. These, my friend, are all gangrene members of your spiritual life that have to be cut off, cast away, in order to save yourself. For which things, Paul continues, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Oh, my friend, if this passage in Mark chapter 9 is not a call to holiness, then what is it? If this does not support the passage in Hebrews that says, without holiness no man shall see the Lord, then what does? So, today we learned about giving, about offenses from within and from without. Think about it. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Tune in again next week at the same time on the same station. Goodbye now, until then.